that are going to children's worship can do that. Encourage you to find the outline in your bulletin that will be helpful for you to follow along in the scriptures that I'm going to be using and reading. We're back in Ephesians again, chapter 1, and we'll finish chapter 1 somewhere. There's a whole lot of God's Word. There's just a lot of, I think, wonderful truths in this book. For many individuals, Ephesians are one of the favorite books of Christians. So we're going to be looking at verses 15, 16, 17 of Ephesians chapter 1. So let me read those and let's think about some things in this passage. For this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him. Begins this passage by saying, for this reason, having heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for the saints. So I'm thinking today, title this thoughts together, for what am I known? For what am I going to be known? In this passage, as Paul writes to this group of Christians in the city of Ephesus, he commends them and tells about some things he has heard about them, having heard of them. And so, when people hear about us, what do they think about us? What do they know about us? For what am I known to be? What characteristics of my life do I want to be thought about and known about? So I think about that as we read through these verses. The first thing, I want to fill in on your notes, if you will, be known for faith in the Lord Jesus. Be known for faith in the Lord Jesus. Began this passage by saying, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus. Is that something good to be known for? That you have a person who has faith in Christ. You've trusted Jesus. You believe He is who He says He is. You believe He really did come and live in this world. You believe He really did, was born as a baby in a manger. He really did grow up. He really did die on the cross. He really did raise from the grave. He really did ascend to heaven, and He is coming back. Jesus. So, I want to be known as a person who has faith in the Lord Jesus. The passage I've listed on your notes has to do with Jesus in a time when the brother of Mary and Martha had died, and He's talking to her about the resurrection. So Martha's concerned that Jesus waited too long. He didn't come quick enough to keep her brother from dying. And as He talks to her, notice what Jesus said to her. Jesus said to her, to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world. When Jesus asked Martha about who he was, notice her answer. She said, I believe you are the Christ. You are the Son of God. You are the one who comes into the world. And she's expressing faith in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And so, I want to be known that throughout the community as when people talk about me, and hopefully when people talk about you, they'll say, that person knows Jesus. That person loves Jesus. That person is trying to follow Christ and do things His way. And a person who has faith in the Lord Jesus. When I have faith in Jesus, it means I'm trying to follow Him. I'm trying to obey Him. I'm trying to do what He said. How do you find out what He said? How do you know what Jesus wants you to do? You go right here. And you take scriptures like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, those first four books of the New Testament, and you start looking at what Jesus said, and you start, okay, this is what He said. Now, faith in Jesus means not only do I read them, but I do what? I try to do them. I try to follow them. Ask Him, by faith in Jesus, then I seek to follow them. Aren't you glad that all Jesus instructed us to do in the Bible is that He says, I'll help you do it? He didn't say you go do it all by yourself. He said, I'll help you if you receive me as Savior and Lord. Commit your life to Him. So I want to be known as a person who has faith in the Lord Jesus. That my life is centered in Him. That everything I do has to do with Him and focuses on Him. Be known for faith in the Lord Jesus. Secondly, be known for loving all the saints. He said, I heard of you. It's spread abroad that you have love for all the saints. Now, when we talk about loving all the saints, what are we talking about? We're talking about loving Christians, okay? Every believer in Christ is a saint. It's not a special person who has something unusual about them, except they have no Christ. Maybe that's unusual compared to the rest of the people in the world. But I'm being known for loving all the saints. So he said, I've heard that. You're a place where people love one another. Notice the first scripture I've listed says, since you have been obedient to the truth, purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. For you've been born again, not of seed which is perishable but imperishable, that is through the living and enduring word of God. In obedience to the truth, you become a believer for a sincere love of the brethren. One of the things that the scripture talks about that Christians ought to be known for is to love one another, to really care about one another. Notice he said, he didn't say just care a little bit. What's the word he says? The word fervently means enthusiastically love one another, care about what's happening to one another. Now, what's the basis for that caring? Why do we care? What does it matter? What causes us to care about other Christians? Because he said what? You have been born again. You've been transformed by the Word of God, not to imperishable seed, but through the living, enduring Word of God. And we are known for loving the saints. Why? Because we're saved. Now, when you talk about loving the saints, is it possible that some of the saints aren't too lovable? No, I used to think if everybody's a Christian, everybody's lovable. Well, they do love the Lord, but sometimes, even in a marriage, sometimes we love one another, but do we ever irritate one another? Most of that happens sooner or later. So when we're talking about loving the saints, we're talking about loving people even though they are not what I would like them to be. Is it all right for us to disagree as Christians? The saying that I've heard and you've heard me say a lot, we can agree to disagree and be agreeable. We can love one another, even though we approach things differently. We may have some different thoughts about certain scripture passages. There may be other areas that we do. We may even live our Christian life differently. Did you ever notice that other Christians don't live like you do? They don't always adopt the same standards you do. They don't always, you know, and if they're not careful, we can be critical of them because, well, you're not doing like I am. You don't believe like I do. You're not, you have these, I think these things are right, but you're not doing them. And so we need to be cautious because we love them, not because they happen to be Baptist or whatever denomination, not because they happen to like certain churches, but because they love Jesus. What unites us is our faith in Christ. And he said, you're known as a place where people, where the saints are loved, fervently love one another, because you've been born again. You've been changed by the Spirit of God. And so our challenge always is to say, God, help me love those who don't love me or who don't behave like I think they ought to. Besides, I need to remember, when I am growing in Christ, do you grow in some areas? In some areas, you've got to learn to grow yet in. You haven't arrived yet in some areas. If we're not careful where we have arrived, we never fully arrive, so that's probably the wrong word to say. But where we're growing and maybe developing pretty good, if we're not careful, we criticize the other person because they're not where I am. But if you look at their life, I wonder sometimes if they are not advanced, if you will, in some other aspect of the Christian life, well, you're not. And so I can't measure them by my standard, but I measure them because these are brothers and sisters in Christ. We belong to one another. We're united in one another because of Jesus. And we're all around the centered around the person of Christ. He is our Savior. He is our Lord. He is our God. And God's our Father. And so we want to be known as people who love one another. Ask God to help us to always love one another. Loving one another does not always mean we agree, but it means I love you because you're in Christ. The other verse I've listed says, now as to the love of the brethren, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. For indeed, you do practice it toward all the brethren who are in Macedonia. We urge you, brethren, to excel still more. So in this scripture passage, he said, you don't have anybody reason for anybody to tell you. God's already told you. You yourselves are taught by God to love one another. And in this case, he commends them because in this group, this church, they're practicing that. I pray that we'll always be that here. We'll learn to love one another and accept one another and celebrate one another. Because after all, if we're in Jesus, we all have the same Father. We all have the same Savior. We all are connected in Jesus. And we ask God to help us to do that. So he said, you're known, I've heard about your faith, and I've heard about your love for all the saints. May we be the same. May people who hear about us say, those group of people love one another. Those people, you rejoice together, like to be together. The third area is, be known for accepting the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 17, he talked about, as he gave thanks for them, as he prayed for them, verse 16, in verse 17, he said that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ be known for accepting the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, as I thought about this and was reading some things about this study, I didn't recognize something. We trust him to be our God. But when Jesus was here on earth as a human being, who was his God? God the Father. It just hadn't dawned on me that relationship, that in his humanity, God was still his Father. In his time here, he's always Father, understand that. But Jesus, he talks about in several passages, if you read through the New Testament, where Jesus talks about his Father, and he accepted him. So I accept the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is, I accept the same God he accepted. He said, according to his great mercy, through Christ, he's caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Aren't you glad you got a God that's alive? A God that's still living. A God that's still active. A God that's still around. Because all other gods are dead but this one, but Jesus. But I want to know, and I accept God as my Lord and my Savior. I accept God for being who he is and everything the Bible says he is. The creator of the universe. The one that runs the show. Do you believe God still runs the show? Or are we running it? No. Is our government running it? No. God's still in control. He's the God, the Father. He's the ruler. He's the reigner. He's in charge of it all. And I want to be known as a person, that I'm known as a person. I'm believing in God, trusting God, that in midst of all the stuff that's happening in this country and other places around the world, our God still reigns. Our God still rules. And he is the God of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one I trust. And I want to be known as a person who stands for that. Now, if you're known for that, there will be people who will criticize you for being so dumb. Won't there? There are people who say, well, you believe what? Yeah. In fact, there was a time not too long ago where some of us were criticized because we believed in creation. And that God put it all together. Right here in this community. We were called, well, I'll say what we're called, but anyway. We were considered to be nimwits and dummies by individuals that we know in this community. But that's all right. I'd rather be known for trusting the God of our Lord Jesus Christ than not. Because in the ultimate end of things, who's going to win? God's going to win. So we're on the right track. Then as another part of that, and on the other side of your notes, it says, be known for praising the God of glory. For praising. And he said, now that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, the one who's so wonderful, so glorious. The two scriptures of this, it says, now to our God and Father be the glory forever and ever. Amen. The other one says, now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. I want to be known as somebody who praises God, who glorifies God, who honors God, who talks about Him, who speaks about Him, how wonderful He is. Has God been good to you? Can you glorify God? I mean, you got anything to praise Him about, to talk about how wonderful He is? We just went through Thanksgiving and holidays, and I hope you thank the Lord for a lot of stuff. But I praise Him for all He is. I want to glorify Him. I want to exalt Him. I want to talk about how wonderful He is. Talk about the God of glory. When I think about glorifying God, another way of saying that is I want to make God look good. Now, I know God doesn't need my help, okay? You know, but a lot of people don't know God, right? So I want to live in such a way and talk in such a way that I speak about how wonderful and glorious God is, how delightful He is, how wonderful it is to belong to Him, how wonderful it is to serve Him, how wonderful it is to honor Him. I want to be known as a person who's praising the God of glory, lifting Him up as the most holy, glorious God. Now, the Bible says we're all going to do, ultimately, we're going to glorify God. The Bible says we're going to gather around the throne of Jesus and we're going to glorify God. In fact, the Bible says that every knee is going to bow and every tongue confess He's Lord, the glory of God the Father. He's going to be praised. He's going to be exalted. He's going to be lifted up. So I'm going to glorify Him now. I'm going to be a person that whenever I talk about the glory of God. You know, I'm still trying to learn to speak honor of God instead of something else. Anybody ever say to you, how you doing? How's your day? What do we say? Fine. What can we say? You know, God's been good to me. I'm praising for what He's done in my life. I know they're going to look at you like you're weird. Well, why not glorify God? Why not say, I'm here because of God's grace? I mean, you just share the glory of God, how wonderful it is. And you might attract somebody to Jesus. Nobody wants to belong to a God that's dull and a God that doesn't do anything. A God who we speak about how wonderful He is, how He's cared for us, how He's provided for us. We want to be known as a person who praises the God of glory, lifts Him up. Because we're going to do it anyway later for Christians, so why not do it now? Another area is be known for seeking a spirit of wisdom. He talks to them about, he prayed that God would give them a spirit of wisdom. Be known for seeking a spirit of wisdom. I think most of us agree I need some wisdom. I need God to tell me what to do and how to direct my life. The scripture I've listed says, for this reason also, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased to pray for you and ask you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. He talked about he knew this people as a people who sought wisdom, and he prayed for them that they might have a spirit of wisdom. When we think about wisdom and getting wisdom, what's one of the things that we need to do if we're going to get it? You probably think a lot of things, but I think one of the ways is I have to admit I don't know it in the first place. I don't get wisdom when I think I got it. When I think I'm pretty smart and I don't need anything, I don't really seek wisdom. It's only when I recognize I need some help, I need God's grace and God's touch in my life, that I seek wisdom. So he prays for them here that they might be filled with the knowledge of God's will and spiritual wisdom and understanding. The knowledge of God's will. I know God has an ultimate will for all of us and He wants us all to be saved in Jesus. But does God have a day-to-day will for our life? Does God have a plan? He's saying, this is what I'd like for you to do today. And we pray that God will help us to see that, think about that, understand that, so we live this day according to His wisdom and understanding. The result of that is you pray for wisdom and understanding so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please Him in all respects. Now, I want you to notice he didn't say you earn your right. But because of our faith in Christ and we seek His wisdom, so may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. What that means is I live in a way that honors Christ. My conduct, my attitude, my relationships are such that when people see me, they're not surprised to find out that I'm a Christian. That I walk with God. That the attitudes which I convey, the way I relate to people, the way I relate to my family, the way I do my business and life, it portrays an honesty and a character of life. And people see that and they know This person has the wisdom of God, and they're trying to honor Him, to please Him in all respects. That's a wonderful goal. I want to please Him in everything I do, every moment of every day. And I learn that from Scripture, and I learn that from the wisdom from God. So I seek a spirit of wisdom from God to please Him, that I might increase in the knowledge of God, which I'll talk about later. But I want a spirit of wisdom. What does God say about wisdom? What does the Scripture say? If you lack wisdom, ask of God, who will give it to you liberally and won't criticize you for asking. I like that. So He talked about these believers. He prayed that they have a spirit of wisdom. Secondly, the second part of that prayer was a spirit of revelation. We know we're seeking a spirit of revelation. Now, I know there's a book in the Bible called Revelation, which we study and try to understand. But I think here He's talking about a spirit of Christ revealing Himself or making Himself known. The Scripture says, therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. When I think about a spirit of revelation, what I think of is God revealing His truth to me. Do you find that as you read the Scriptures and as you walk with Jesus, that you get new insights of who He is? New understanding, a new spirit, a new awareness, maybe is a better word for that, of revelation. I believe as I read this book that there's a lot in here I still don't know. And a lot here that about the Scriptures that I could learn, that God could show me. And so I pray, be known as a person that says, God, won't you show me your truth? To reveal the revelation of Jesus. To reveal Christ. And the more I study it, and more recently I've become aware, more aware, that Jesus is throughout the whole Bible. We hear about Him a lot in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the New Testament. But there's a lot about Jesus in the Old Testament. And we start looking, God will show us more things about Him. But I want a spirit of revealing, knowing Jesus. Now, why do I want to know Jesus? Why do I want Him to reveal Himself to me? Let me see Him more clearly, more fully. So I can say, hey, I'm great. I got more revelation. No. So I can follow Him better. So I can do what He wants me to do better. And trust Him. The grace is brought to you in the revelation of Jesus. I'm grateful that Jesus wants us to know who He is. And Him to reveal Himself, to show Himself to us. So He talked about, He prayed that they have a spirit of revelation, and the last part, in the knowledge of Him. So the last thing on your notes is, be known for seeking knowledge of Christ. Be known for seeking knowledge of Christ. I've already thought about this a little bit, but is there room for us to know more about Jesus? But I want to suggest something here, and I think you're already thinking about it probably. Is there a difference between knowing about Jesus and knowing Jesus? You can read a lot in Scripture and in other places, know about Jesus, and that's, we need to do that. But how do you get to know Jesus? Same way you get to know a person. You spend time with them. You talk to him. You pray to him. You read what he says and says, show me that. Show me your truth. I want to know you, who you are, what you do, how you behave, what you did. So when I read the Gospels and I read the Bible, I'm saying, Jesus, I want to know you. And I believe he likes that when we're saying, Jesus, I want to know you. I think the revelation I talked about, he wants us to know himself, to know him better. I don't know all that heaven is like. But sometimes I wonder, if I know him better now, I will enjoy him better then, when I go to heaven. Don't you, when you know a person, and you get acquainted, and you really get to know them, not just about them, does your relationship with that person improve and increase because you've got to know who they are? You've got to know their hurts, their struggles, their problems, their joys, what they like to do. Your connection with that person increases, right? So the more I know about Jesus, the more I love him, the more I understand him, I think the more I'll enjoy him. That's something to think about. Let me read this passage of Scripture, which comes from Ephesians that Paul wrote, and I think it's characteristic of what we want. More than that, I also consider everything to be in loss of the view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Because of Him, I've suffered the loss of all things and consider them filth, so that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own from the law, but one that is through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. My goal is to know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death. I read this scripture passage and I ask myself, how much do I really want this? How much is this my own heart cry? The scripture passage says, I count everything else filth. In fact, one translation would say it's garbage or worse. I count it all as nothing to know Him. In fact, he said in this passage, I've suffered the loss of all things, but I want to gain Christ. I want to know Him. I want fellowship with Him. My prayer is that when we come together for this service, that we meet Jesus. It doesn't matter a lot of other things that take place unless I'm here to meet Jesus. Is Jesus here? Through the Holy Spirit? Does He want us to meet Him? If you meet Jesus today, you've had a good service. I really believe that. If I encounter Jesus through the Scriptures, through the songs, but I sense His presence, I know Him. That's my desire. So when I go home today, if I've met Jesus, it's been a good day. It's a good time. I want to be found in Him. My goal is to know Him, the power of His resurrection, to know what it means to have a Christ who's alive, who's living right now. He's not only living in heaven, but He's living right here. And He's living in your life to fulfill His plan, His purpose for you. The power of a resurrected Jesus. The second part, the fellowship of sufferings, we kind of like to just avoid that one. Why would we share the fellowship of His sufferings? What would cause us to do that? I think it's because we're trying to live like Him enough that we're different from the rest of the world, that they don't like us and we suffer because we stand up for Jesus. We don't deliberately suffer, but we share with Him enough. And then being conformed to His death. To me, that means dying to self. I find that self is hard to die to. Selfishness still comes up. The flesh still comes up. And I need to say, God, put that flesh to death. Help me today to die to my own plan, my own goals, my own dreams, my own desires, and yield them to You, to fellowship with You as You put to death the self. Help me to know You better. My conviction is if I have this heart cry, as Scripture talks about, if I really want to know Him, I'll do things to get to know Him. I'll be in His Word. I'll pray. I'll serve. I'll do all that I can to spend time with Jesus because I want to know Him. And so what am I known for? To me, these are some good things that I want you to know and think about today. Do you know Jesus? Have you met Him as Savior? Can you say, I'm known as a child of God because I met Jesus, my Savior and Lord. I've received Him. If not, my prayer is that today you invite Jesus to come and take over your life. You tell Him, Lord, I haven't been living for You. I've sinned against You. I've done wrong. I need Your forgiveness. But I'm going to come put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who died on the cross, and ask Him to help me to live for Him. As we think about those scriptures, I pray that we as Christians will say, God, help me. What am I known for? What do people think about when they see me? What kind of qualities of life? These characteristics, I think, in these three verses of Scripture are things I want to say, God, develop, grow me in these areas so that I'll be known as a person whose faith in Jesus. I'll be known as a person who's loving all the saints. I'll be known as a God, person who accepts God, the Lord Jesus, the God of the Lord Jesus. I'll be known as a person who's praising God, the God of glory. I'll be known as a person who's seeking God's wisdom. I'll be known as a person who's seeking to understand God to reveal Himself in Christ. And I'll be known as a person who wants to know Jesus more. Let's pray. My prayer is that today, if you don't know Christ, that today He wants to be a part of your life. He wants you to know Him, not just know about Him, but to receive Him. So my prayer is that today you would ask Him. You realize you need Him and commit your life to Him. As a Christian, you take these principles and say, God, help me to live them for Your glory. I want to be known as that kind of person. And He'll help us. There may be decisions you need to make about your life, your walk. You may need request some kind of need for prayer, and you want to share that. In a moment, we'll be standing. When we stand, if you'd like to share a decision in Christ, you're committing your life to Him in some way. You're renewing a relationship. Would you come and share it? Pastor Ryan and I will be here in a moment. We're glad to share with you. Help us share with others. We would like to do that. Thank you, Lord, for being here today. Thank you that you're present. Thank you that you really do want us to know you more and more and more. Help us to have that heart cry. And dear Lord, thank you for those that are here. Now, as your Spirit speaks, if there's one individual or more who needs to make a commitment to Christ, may this be the day when they choose Jesus above all else. Have your way in this time of we share together. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together.